Intervju Radija Študent.
Dobar dan, lep pozdrav v terminu za Ereš intervju. Danes večer se bo v K4 zgodil zaključni dogodek, se pravi v koncu letošnje sezone v Štirki. Tja so pa povabili v zadnjih letih dvojc Bomb the Bass, prej je bila, pač se zelo spreminjala zasedba skozi leta. Žal, Timo, nismo mogli dobiti intervju v živo, ker prav mislim, da zdaj len enkrat pristaja na Brniku, tako da smo intervju posneli naprej. Gre pa za, se pravi, pogovarjali smo se s Timom Simenonom, ki je nekako srednja figura projekta Bomb the Bass. To je pa projekt, ki je zaživel tam nekje v drugi polovici 80-ih let minulega stoletja. In sicer britanski projekt, ki je nekako postavil temelje celotni elektronski klubski glasbi v bistvu. Takrat nekako je začela na britanski otok prihajati prvi odvodi tega elektrofanka iz Amerike, pa hip-hop, pa mogoče že tudi prve oblike tehna, takrat sicer še precej drugačnega. Bomb the Bass so pa naredili pač neko novo zanimivo stvar, vse je plastno iz tega in iz njihovih pač iz njihove glasbe so potem tudi črpale mlajše generacije, ki so postavile na noge pač celotno britansko klubsko glasbo. V začetku rave, pol se pa to cepali na številne druge odvode. Pa dajmo kar slišati prvi del intervjuja, pa bomo potem še kaj več rekli.
Is this your first time performing in Ljubljana? You will play here on Saturday.
Yes, this will be my first time in the city and in the country, in fact. So, yeah, it's very exciting for both Paul and I, because we've both never been to Ljubljana, so looking forward to it very much.
You've been traveling the world and DJing for like over 20 years now. Does it still give you as much joy as it did when you started? You know, where do you find motivation nowadays?
It really still does give me a lot of joy. I think if it was not giving Paul or me any joy, I think we would really find it difficult to do what we're doing, you know. I think the motivation really comes first and foremost really from the music that we produce. You know, we both wholeheartedly believe in what we do. And the inspiration really comes from new music that we both listen to, you know. So I think that's the sort of the circle. It's probably the best way of describing it, really.
Now that you mention new music, you know, being involved in electronic dance or club music through all its phases, which period is dearest to you? Could you pick just one, maybe? Or
oh, right, yes. Well, you know, it really depends, because you know each certain period has its sort of certain acts. You know, obviously the very beginning of it all was very dear to me, you know, because I have very fond memories of going out often and listening to a lot of new music that really inspired me, you know, at that point, growing up as a DJ, you know, and playing music out in various clubs and parties. That really was, I think, the foundation of
of
the bass, really, you know. And then throughout the years, you know, there has obviously been many things that have inspired, you know. So I think in every sort of area era, that there's always been some kind of music that has really sort of taken my liking, really, you know.
You know, nowadays the big thing is dubstep. What are your thoughts on that?
I like elements of dubstep, as I do like elements of a lot of different music. You know, I really like the grittiness and the fact that it's, you know, the beats are kind of just thrown all over the place. And I think there's some good producers out there, like people like Rusty, who I really love, from Scotland. He does some really amazing productions for dubstep stuff, you know.
You know, in the recent years, maybe since the break of millennium, to me it seems that the melodic part of electronic music got kind of lost, but now it's coming back. It was like underground producers lost a bit of credibility with the club public if they were too melodic. And you know, your work is, especially the new one, is really based on melodies. So how do you see this? Do you see it the same?
Well, you know, right from the very beginning, I've always said that I really love melodies and love songs, you know, people that can write really good songs, but I like songs that have been produced in such a way where the instrumentation is a bit of a contrast to the song and the melody, you know. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's always what makes an interesting production, really, you know.
Right.
But I'm always up for a bit of melody and definitely a good song, you know.
So you experienced great success early in your career, and having been involved in music industry, though you never compromised your music, but with your album Future Chaos, you decided for quite a quiet promotion through your MySpace, and you didn't change that formula much with your latest album Back to Light. And you know, I know that music industry loves comebacks of notable musicians, so I'm pretty sure that you could have made your return a bit bigger. So how come you decided for this more quiet approach?
Well, I think the quiet approach, it was really just to understand again how to really release music, because, you know, as you're saying, you know, between Clear and Future Chaos, it was, you know, like 13 years, you know? Mm-hmm. And obviously during that period of time, the industry had changed drastically, how people were listening to music had changed drastically, and obviously, you know, the whole thing was just downloading music. Mm-hmm. Which obviously 13 years before was non-existent, you know. So I think, you know, it just felt right, really, just to come back with something that was a bit more sort of understated. Musically, obviously, you know, Bomb the Bass, the sound of Bomb the Bass had changed a lot as well. And in a way, you know, Future Chaos was really a starting point once again for the project, I feel, you know, because of the amount of time that we did not release any music.
Right. In the meantime, you were quite involved with producing music for pop artists. So, you know, what is the interesting part of working solo and working with pop musicians?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of production work that happened in between. And I think with that, you're obviously working with a band, you know, and the direction of the tracks are discussed, obviously, with the people involved in the band. Whereas with Bomb the Bass, I suppose it's a little bit more focused on where I see the project, and I suppose more the choices are really made between Paul and myself, really, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, for production work, the songs are usually or always written beforehand. So it's a question of rearranging the instrumentation to suit the song. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Bomb the Bass, these things are started by myself, are sketched up with a basic color, atmosphere, and then I send that on to Paul. He adds a few elements on top of that, and we keep adding layers until we've got something that we're both happy with, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a slightly different process, I should say.
You said in some interview that you eventually became tired of producing music for pop stars because it didn't take you anywhere creativity-wise. So what did you learn from this whole experience?
You know, I think during this whole experience, what I did gain was obviously a lot of technical experience, you know, about engineering, about putting music together. Mm-hmm. And I just became sort of a bit sort of burnt out by the whole experience, because for a period of time I spent a lot of time in studios, you know.
Right.
and just working on other people's music, and it just came to a point where I felt like it was just time for me to do my own thing again, you know. And and that's where Future Chaos, the beginning of that story, kicks off from there. But even though it was started many years beforehand, you know, so in a way, Future Chaos is, you know, it's round two of Bomb the Bass.
You know, I guess that some common conception is that being a pop star is a lovely deal, but I guess that it totally depends on an individual and what they strive for in music. So what is your experience with that?
Oh, it depends on everyone, you know. I mean, I've worked with some wonderful people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from bands like Curve or Depeche Mode, you know, working with them was an outstanding experience for me, for example, because, you know, as a teenager, I was a big Depeche Mode fan.
Mm-hmm. Martin Gore co-produced one of your later songs.
Yes, exactly. You know, so, you know, we still have good communication, and that was a wonderful experience because, you know, for me, working with, you know, one of the best songwriters in the world, I've admired and adored since I was a teenager, was an amazing experience, but also quite a stressful experience during that time because of the situation I was walking into. You know, Alan Wilder had just left the band.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, really, it was at some point, you know, an album that should not have been finished, really, because for all the things that were going wrong around that sort of whole Depeche Mode world, you know.
Right.
But somehow the album got finished, and you know, it took out a lot of energy, I think, for everyone involved, you know, and eventually got released. So, you know, that was an amazing experience, really, I have to say, Goran.
Takole, to je bil torej prvi del intervjuja s Timom Simenonom, glavnim sprav šefom zasedbe Bomb the Bass, ki ga boste danes lahko slišali v K4. Zdaj bomo slišali pa eno skladbo z njegovega, mislim, da lanskoletnega seta, oziroma njegovega, pa pol kombo je še zraven, kot bo povedal tudi v intervjuju, pa je že povedal. Estetika po novem je pa mogoče lih primerjavi z njegovimi začetki, ki so bili bolj bazirani na samplih, pa tej muziki, ki se je pojavila, se pravi Acid House-u, tam v začetku 90-ih. Zdaj po novem, v zadnjih letih ustvarja pa nekako bolj se opira tudi na pop senzibilnost, kar je verjetno posledica tudi njegovega sodelovanja s temi priznanimi producenti. Pa dajmo slišati zdaj to skladbo, potem sledi pa še drugi del intervjuja.
Thank you.
you said that you said a bit about what you strive for in your recent involvement in music, but have your goals or ideas changed since the success of your debut single Beat This?
In a way, not really. No, because, you know, when I first went into the studio, you know, that was just so unassuming. You know, it was done because of love. You know, the idea of going into the studio for 2 days to put together a record that really, initially, we were only talking about pressing up 1,000 copies of, you know, and I still have that kind of mentality every time I do music. I think it's really important to be able to make music that really gives you joy and satisfaction. You know, a lot of people sort of ask me, you know, if there is a pressure of trying to please, you know, your listeners, and I think that's really the wrong approach to take, really, because you will never please everyone. But as long as you're very content with what you do and believe in what you do, you know, I always believe that will always come through in some way, through success, you know, because ultimately, if you believe in it, there's also going to be a good few people that believe in it also, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And for me, that gives me enough satisfaction, you know. Right. For me, it's still about making the music and putting the tracks together. Mm-hmm. And that is the thing that gives me a lot of enjoyment.
Your latest album, Back to Light, seems to be much more oriented in pop sensibility. You know, before you started recording new songs or albums, do you have a worked out idea about how it should sound, or do you just start working on it and then see where it takes you?
Yeah, definitely the latter, really. It's virtually impossible. Every time I've got a basic idea of a starting point, you know, it could start roughly, but it will always end up completely differently to the starting point. And I think that's the exciting thing, you know, because I think you want to be excited and you want to be surprised. And ultimately, for me, it's about capturing these surprises and turning the surprises, you know, into something special, you know, mm-hmm. And understanding that these sort of elements that are random are the best things that happen in music.
You know, you mentioned a couple of times Paul. This is Paul Conboy, who now plays with you. He's probably...
Yes, exactly. Sorry, yes. This is Paul Conboy, indeed. Yes, uh-huh. Who has been my music collaborator for the last two albums.
Uh-huh. And how did you get involved with him? Because I don't know any of his previous work. So how did come across him, you know? How did he get your attention?
Basically, Paul and I are actually very old friends. Uh-huh. And, you know, he's been doing music for as long as I have, to be honest. Uh-huh. And we met about 12, 13 years ago. And at 2001, 2002, I started a small electronic label called Electric Tone. And the second release on this label was with Paul. So that was really how our connection began. And it just seemed like a natural progression, really, that, you know, that he was doing his stuff, I was doing my stuff. And somehow the idea of working together just seemed like a very natural progress, you know.
So now he's basically a... part of Bomb the Bass. You will now perform live with Paul as well on Saturday, so this is
correct.
Probably a long-term relationship.
Yes, I hope so. I mean, it's because it just feels so good, you know, and it feels so right. So it's definitely, you know, we're both very open-minded in terms of direction, and that's what I think we both really value that about each other. And the process is very easygoing, you know.
And you worked with many other vocalists throughout your career. How did you choose who you want to work with?
Well, quite simply, I like what they do. You know, I feel that they would be able to contribute something to the backing track that I would send them, you know, and do something quite interesting with it. And that's usually it, really. You know, sometimes people are too busy, or they've never heard of the name, or, you know, or the backing track is not for them. But in general, that's really, you know, I'll write a personal email to someone and hope for the best.
Maybe just a couple more questions about you performing live. I heard... your set from last year, I think it was from the Red Bull Music Academy, and I liked the whole set and how it captures that kind of ravey feeling, which we don't get to hear much lately in the clubs, you know. So what do you strive for when you play live?
I think just excitement, really, you know, and hopefully a nice, entertaining experience, you know. because ultimately, you know, it's Paul sings live, and you know, and we are sort of two guys behind laptops, and what we have is, you know, we've worked on a visual set to go along with the music that complements the music very well. I hope, you know, and for people that watch it, you know, they could listen, they could dance, or they could just, you know, enjoy just standing there and just really, you know, taking in the visuals and the music that go with it, you know. So yeah, I suppose these are the three things that we aim for, and obviously a very good clear sound, you know.
Here's a bit more specific question. There was a beautiful song towards the end of this set, and a friend of mine said that it sounds almost like Richie Houghton doing Plastic Man thing in some odd two-step manner. So, you know, do you only play your own music, or do you play music by other artists as well?
No, if it's a Bomb the Bass live gig, we only play Bomb the Bass music. So I'm not sure the Red Bull Academy, would that have been a DJ set? That might have been a DJ set, yes? Or was that Bomb the Bass live?
I think it was live, because it was Paul singing over the songs. But
Okay, well then that would have all been Bomb the Bass material. Or reworkings of, do you know what I mean? Because I think that the live set does sound,
To original.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, different to the recordings, yeah, because we work specifically, you know, for something that was unique, you know, so that people would come along and hear something, you know, obviously that they're familiar with, but obviously it's different at the same time, you know.
My last question was supposed to be, if you can give us any clues about what to expect when you play here on Saturday, but I think you already answered this with the last two questions. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's mainly going to be music from Future Chaos and Back to Light, and some other tracks, you know, that have been reworked from the older catalog, mashed into one set. It's the best way I could describe it, I think.
Yeah, sounds excellent. So yes, thank you for the interview, and we will
see you. My pleasure, Goran. I look forward to meeting you along the way then.
Excellent, thank you again.
All the best.
To je bil torej intervju s Timom Simenonom, vodje zdaj trenutno dvojca Bomb the Bass, ki ga danes večer lahko slišite na zaključnem dogodku v klubu K4. Mislim, da se začne tam ob 23. uri, tako kot ponovat, ob podpori še številnih domačih DJ-ev, tako da lepo vabljeni. Intervju sem pripravil Goran Kompoš, lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.